This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Time for you some football here on this Monday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob, Eddie, Vinny, Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. NFL Lunch. As you just heard, NFL draft starts in 17 days. Ravens have the 27th pick in said draft. 11 picks overall here to talk about the intel he's been getting, the mock drafts that he's been putting out there. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program our buddy, NFL.com's Eric Edholm. Eric, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, we're getting ever closer to this thing.
Now, you have in your latest mock draft, which is about a week or so ago, you have the Ravens at 27 taking Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, out of Ohio State. Had some ACL stuff. I mean, the Ravens certainly could use an influx of defensive talent, whether it's a pass rusher, inside linebacker, safety, cornerback, et cetera, et cetera. Why would Simmons be maybe an intriguing pick at 27 if Baltimore was looking to go that way?
Yeah, I think one of the things the Ravens have done really well, just historically, and obviously there's been a lot of, you know, carryover in their scouting approach and just the front office and scouts in general, is just letting talent come to them at the end of the first round. Obviously, they end up picking there more often than towards the top end of the round. And I think had Simmons not suffered the knee injury late in the season, he probably would be the left tackle one in this draft, or at least in competition for it, with guys like Armon Membu and Will Campbell, who could end up being top 10 picks. So from that perspective, it's great value. You know, it protects you long term. I couldn't tell you who their third tackle is if they had a lineup today. So it's obviously a spot where he could step in. You could try him at guard. You know, I think he'd be okay there. And if you wanted to do the Jonathan Ogden thing, put him at guard 1 year, then move him out to tackle or something. But yeah, I think just from a talent perspective, sure, your defensive concerns are there. I don't think they fully addressed all of those, but you know, that's just kind of how it shook out in that version.
Eric, I'll tell you what, like pass rusher around 27, you know, who do you think has a chance to be there?
Yeah, I mean, in that range, you're probably talking about, you know, kind of the second wave, if you will, of pass rushers. And you know, obviously there's James Pierce from Tennessee, at one point considered a possible top five or top 10 pick heading into the season.
Character.
Yeah, there's some character stuff there, just a play-to-play consistency issue too. Explosiveness, the body type, you know, certainly fits what you're looking for on the edge there. He's on that borderline first, second round range. Donovan Ezriaku from Boston College.
I liked him.
I mean, he's a really clean prospect, I think. Size is not great, but the coaches raved about him. They said he really kind of took on a leadership role there this season, sort of became the face of that defense a little bit, never took plays off, was really a super productive guy, even against some of the better offensive lines he faced. So that's a possibility. I think, obviously, with 11 picks, they have a little flexibility and could maybe slide up a couple spots. Minnesota at 24 is a team that lacks pick volume and could move down. So if he's still on the board in the early 20s, I think you'd have to consider him. And, you know, I mean, I don't think Mykel Williams is there. I don't see Mike Green lasting that long. Shamar Stewart's a little bit of a wild card, but, You know, that's kind of the guys we're talking about. And JTT at Ohio State would be another one that I would say fits some Ravens boxes.
Now, the thing, Eric, you know, the Shamar Stewart one is like the most amazing one because, you know, when I watched him, I mean, you love his combine numbers, but
yeah.
you hate his film.
Right. Yeah, the production just isn't there. I mean, that's the thing. Three straight years of 1.5 sacks. I mean, you know, there have been some guys like Danielle Hunter who didn't have outstanding college sack production and went on to have, you know, good, obviously, NFL careers and guys getting second and third contracts and things like that. So there are examples. But, I mean, years ago, I think Ozzie was still GM and, you know, maybe Eric had been anointed, you know, the successor in waiting. And I remember some good conversation at the combine about them kind of equating sack production in college translating to the NFL and that there was a big correlation there. So, you know, are they a Ravens team? I don't know. But getting that kind of a talent that late in round one is awfully, awfully tempting.
Now, Eric, you know what? The thing that I've been noticing more and more now is, you know, like at these pro days and stuff, nobody works out anymore. I mean, that would have been like when I was like, when I had a bunch of old scouts in San Francisco, they'd have been crapping at these pro days. What do you mean you're not working out? I got to have times. I got to have height, weight. I got to have, you know, the three cone. I got to have the short. Nobody's doing anything anymore.
Yeah, and all these scouts are saying, hey, I got to be in Oxford in you know, tomorrow. I got to be in Tuscaloosa. You know, what am I doing here, right? If we're not going to watch all these guys. But it is tough. Obviously, we've seen people bow out of the combine workouts, even sometimes the combine measurements too. You know, you see sometimes there's a variance between the arm length and the height and weight and all these different things. So, you know, obviously, I think the players are, in some cases, trying to, you know, sort of protect themselves as best they can, or if there's an injury or something else, they're willing to use that as a reason not to work out. You see some players who are going to have, you know, legitimate injury concerns where their rehab is still going on and there's only so much they could do. Look at Cooper DeJean last year. He didn't work out for good reason. I mean, he couldn't. And I think it hurt him, but obviously ended in a great place in Philly and ended up winning a title. So, you know, sometimes it works out for these guys. But yeah, there's definitely some disappointment when, especially, how do you take Travis Hunter second overall and you don't have verified numbers on him? That's hard to do. I mean, as thrilling a prospect as he might be, you don't know how fast he is. And so that's one fewer sort of benchmark that you have on his scouting portfolio.
As Dion would tell you, just watch the film. Now, Eric, now if you were choosing between Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuori, which the Ravens could be, which one would you take and which one do you think fits better for the Ravens?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Starks is kind of your do-it-all guy, and I think that would really work well opposite somebody that like Kyle Hamilton, right? You know, whatever Kyle's doing, you can ask him to do the opposite, right, or fill that other void. And so Emmanuori is a really interesting guy, and I got to see him in person this year, and I was really impressed. I mean, just first of all, to see a guy that big move as well as he does. I think his tackling and his instincts are a little – below what you're hoping for, and I think he's probably better in the box as a sort of a pseudo linebacker, if you will. I mean, he's a big kid, you know, he's pretty strapped and well put together, but again, the tackling up there, you have to be pretty darn good, and first round safeties have always been a little bit of a dice roll anyway, just sort of projecting their role and figuring out what they do in your defense. And I mean, it's a tough ask. So of the two, I would probably say Starks, just because I think he's got a little bit more versatility to his game. And if he's not great at one thing, you can try him somewhere else or try him, ask him to do other things. So they're both first-round type of talents in this year's class, but and they're probably going to go off somewhere in the 20s, I would imagine. So, you know, maybe Starks can go a little earlier than that. Maybe Emmanuori has one or two teams up high. I've heard the Colts really like him. There's a few other teams that have done a lot of work on him. So one or both could be there. None could be there. It's sort of a tough year to project anything after about the 14th pick.